A lifetime of indoctrination.
So busy fighting with each other that we never look up and realize we're getting fucked.
We're the only one in the universe that has free will.
We are born free and we will stay free.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Free Will Season 2. I haven't been behind a mic in a while. Holy crap. If you're watching, I have a cool new setup. And yeah, I went through a completely, I flipped the page, new chapter in the life, and I needed to take a sec. I left Miami. I am moved out. Yeah, I guess quick little update. I back together with my college sweetheart, and I wanted to get out of Miami. So back to Vegas, here I am, and it feels good. I'm in a home. My rent and expenses do not exceed the way they were in Miami anymore. So definitely a little bit of a breath of fresh air to be out of there. I guess today we need to play catch up. That's for sure. I found love, found my family again. I found a home. My dog has a backyard. Let's go. And free will is back on. That's super exciting because I just had a long time to think about what I'm going to do with free will. And here we are. Today's green theme, because we're going to get into some snake talk today. We're going to talk about the symbolism of the serpent, the dragon, the snake. The reason why we're going to talk about that is because I always say that Miami was the devil's playground. And I'll say it, I think the red pill community caused my awakening, because when I moved there, I ran into that. I started doing what I'm doing, and my research started transcending. When we talk about energy, there's a lot of negative. There's also an equal amount of positive. So I talk about how Miami's the devil's playground. I talk about all of the materialism and low vibrations that everyone's on, and I lived through it, but also I prospered through it. And as bad as I thought it was, I'm so thankful, because the bad made me realize how amazing Miami was, honestly. And how, in order to get to this chapter, the one that I'm at right now, or this scene in the movie, I needed to go through that one. Ah, that's so exciting. I'm so glad I moved there. I'm so glad I lived there. And honestly, it's not going to be the last it's seeing of me. When I moved there, we're going to talk a little bit about my awakening. Why I say Miami caused my awakening. Because when I moved there, we talk about the deprogramming. I was able to leave everything behind. Everything that I'm told, supposed to do, people I'm around. It was a completely new chapter with fresh pages on the book. I was able to reprogram myself. When I first got there, yeah, you run into a lot. And I used to say all the time, I'm running into the devil here. I'm running into the devil there. And I started, you know, I had a lot of time when you're by yourself, when you don't have friends, when you don't have family around you. You have a lot of time to think and to maybe gather some of the seeds that you left behind for the reprogramming. And as I started picking up on some things in my life, who I want to be around, what I want to do, how I want to behave, and I was able to reprogram all of that by myself. Thanks to Miami. And Miami did not make it an easy task. That city will eat you alive, but also that battery, it will charge you up. So I start going on these podcasts, start talking about, you know, society, and I'm looking at the society that I was living in. I'm talking to people that have these perceptions, and I realized just this is a different, completely different reality. And people in this city have completely different realities from one another. And that's where the awakening started, where I never before felt more disconnected, but I also never before felt more connected with everyone. In Miami, thinking about all these things, I come to the conclusion of oneness. And that's what I say my awakening is I realize that we are living in a dream state. That's what we can call it. Your consciousness comes in three, right? The conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious. I started diving deep into the subconscious. That's how free will was born. When endings, they create beginnings. The negative creates positives. Best thing that came out of this was doing this and talking into this mic. Enough of that, enough of me. So, what's good? No, I did not spot a guy walking around with horns and telling people to do things and tempting people. No, I spot the consciousness acting devilish, the consciousness having to choose between a state of heaven or a state of hell. We've talked about this in the earlier season. Take something that I thought was the devil's playground. Now I'm looking at it. School on steroids. Lots of lessons, lots of experiences. I will stick by. Get out of your hometown, deprogram yourself, and then reprogram yourself with your own programming. That gave me every opportunity to transform my life and to start creating, writing the script for how I want it to go. And we can all do that. Okay, so I brought up the serpent. I brought up snakes. Today we are going to talk about the Book of Thoth and how the serpent is a metaphor to our DNA. We all know the serpent biblically. It's looked at as bad. That's, you know, Satan disguised himself as a serpent to tempt Eve into biting the forbidden fruit. Let's go back lots of years. Thoth. He was the ancient Egyptian god of writing, wisdom, and magic. He dove deep into expanding consciousness. We're going to pull him up here. And today is going to be fun to watch the episode because I'm going to have a lot of little images to explain things and represent. Thoth created the cosmic principle of thinking, and he called this sacred knowledge. This included math, arts, language, and there we have it, the Book of Thoth, where he describes this wisdom in the etheric realm. So, wisdom that is not physical, that is not learned per se in the physical world, but this wisdom is within all. So, everyone can achieve this wisdom, but he explains that the wisdom is deeply hidden and protected by the golden serpent. Picture this as now we call it the egoic structure. We've talked about disidentifying with the self, getting rid of the ego. There's a separation of the physical and the spiritual, the soul, and the conscious ego. Awakening from the dream state is recognizing the egoic structure. So Thoth explains that this serpent is bound by the inner energies. So our energy, the serpent is in our energy. And you need to master it and overcome it to obtain the wisdom. But suffering comes if you try to control it. It's the action of recognizing it and releasing it. They called it Osiris, which is the awakened consciousness, leading on to that is the third eye opening and getting rid of the danger of being disconnected. disconnected to that charge, to that energy, to that knowledge. Linking that to our societal distractions, that's what's causing the disconnections. The heavy focus on the physical world and the egoic structure is causing disconnection, and we're seeing the disconnection within ourselves, because if we're all energy, we can be charged by each other, by ourselves together, as we call it, the collective consciousness, but we are massively disconnected. But are we really? We are more connected than ever as well. And that's where you find the full charge, the negative, positive, neutral, the protons, neutrons, electrons within us. So call it a serpent, a dragon, a snake. This has been represented over cultures through years. We see it everywhere. Kundalini Shakti, Chi, the Holy Spirit, and this inner energy. The serpent is a metaphor. It is a metaphor of the primordial spiral that we see in the cosmos. It extends from the micro to the macro. So we talk about our lives in back in the episode Planned Coincidence, where we perceive everything right now in this life in the micro. When time goes by, you can look at the bigger picture, you can look at the macro, you can look how things attached to develop certain sequences and events. So it's the spiral of energy from the micro to the macro. This is represented by the serpent, by the snake. All right. So I brought up Kundalini Shakti. What is this? Kundalini Shakti literally translates to serpent power. We'll pull up the image here. You might have seen this before, might have not, but this is represented in a lot of spiritual images. The serpent going from the root of the body up to the pineal gland. This represents mind and matter. Low vibrational light turns into matter. High vibrational matter turns into light. It is the power of matter to know itself. So us as matter, recognizing our consciousness. This was huge in Hinduism, also Tibetan and Buddhism. And with Hinduism, we have Shiva. He is an Indian deity. I'll pull up a picture of him. And you see, he always resembles the snake on him. Now we have Chi. Pull up a picture. So this is like the yin yang sign. You have the snake in the black and the crane in the white. Chi resembles energy present in and guiding everything in the universe. A lot within Asia, the Chinese, the Vietnamese, Korean, Japanese. You can also call this Taoism. So there we have it. The serpent is the other half. Here we have it again, representing the inner energy of the good and the bad. But is it really? It's just the negative and the positive charge that completes one another. Historically, serpents and snakes have represented fertility or a creative life force. You can compare this to feminine energy. We've talked about how energy, the good and the bad, the positive and the negative, that also represents the female and the male. That's because negative energy takes from out and brings within to create, and then positive energy expands. So with the female, she takes something from the outside and then creates something within. Then when the baby is born, they're expecting the path, they're expecting to see the father, the one who expands the positive energy. We see it in life. Bad things happen in order for you to create something new. There's an ending for a beginning. So historically, we see the serpent and the snake representing fertility, representing the feminine energy. That's because they shed skin. This showed rebirth, transformation, and healing. Going off of healing, we have the medical sign, the snake. Now we have inner knowing. Historically, snakes have also resembled to trust your instinct, intuition, inner knowing. This is because of the snake's innate ability to sense its environment. They're quick with it. Now let's bring in the Holy Spirit. Where does the serpent lie metaphorically in the Bible? I've said the Bible is a metaphor. You're not supposed to take these stories literal. So in the Holy Spirit, the snake resembles evil, poison, destruction. Satan, the devil, disguised as the serpent to tempt Eve, the female. Making that connection. The Book of Thoth, we talked about the serpent is the egoic structure that is protecting this inner knowledge, the sacred wisdom. The Book of Thoth parallels the tree of knowledge in the Garden of Eden. So Adam and Eve were told to not eat the fruit. The serpent comes in, tempts Eve with the fruit. In connection of energy, the Bible was metaphorically showing that it's not Adam that ate the fruit, it was Eve that ate the fruit, because Eve is the negative energy. She is a female. She is the one that is going to create something. Adam is the one that's going to expand off of that. Eve is the one that was tempted, and she was the one that ate it. She is the negative energy, the feminine, the black to the yin-yang. Take within, create, and expand. Humanity ate the fruit, and therefore is exiled. Where are we exiled from? I like to make the connection that we got exiled from that knowledge. That now we have the egoic structure. We got tempted by the snake. We are now suffering the consequences of the egoic structure. In order for us to, or biblically they say, reach state of heaven, you have to choose God. You have to awaken ancient ideologies. It is awakening from the egoic structure. It is biblically choosing God from being tempted from the snake. What does God say? Jesus Christ, he says, I am. Choosing I am oneness to achieve a state of heaven. Heaven could be the state of inner knowledge. Heaven in connection to the ancient Egyptian Book of Thoth is this sacred knowledge, how the state of hell and the state of heaven are just two extremes of the subconscious. As even God says it, an awakening, the Holy Spirit is recognizing I am, is recognizing the egoic structure, and that's how you achieve a state of heaven, or like Thoth says it, the sacred knowledge. Or energy, the primordial spiral. How energy is created, how our movie is created. So going back to the ancient Egyptian gods, pull up a picture. A lot of them wore the snake on top of their head. They wore this there because it was a symbol of protection and power. This didn't symbolize temptation. They wore this there because of protection, right above the third eye. Snakes are believed to be the first offspring of primeval Earth. Picture of Thoth. He's carrying snakes with him. Snakes in DNA, or DNA, looks like the structure of the snakes that twirl with one another like his baton. Healing, medicine, we have all of these symbols that the snake represents power throughout history. But then the Bible says it's evil. Evil, E-V-I-L. Attach the D in front of it, that's devil. So devil and evil. The devil is the negative energy. Eve was the female who ate the forbidden fruit. Eve, evil. Eve equals evil equals devil. Equals negative energy. So the Bible represents the snake as evil, even though it was written after the ancient Egyptian cultures, both ancient Egyptian and Indian cultures. They knew for a very well long time that from the bottom to the top of the spine, through the pineal gland, a liquid is released. You achieve a state of what they called enlightenment, also called Kundalini awakening. They represented that by the third eye. In the Bible, we talk about this awakening. So why does the Bible say the snake is bad? Is it that they don't want you to know this information? That the snake is represented as this powerful symbol to enlightenment, to awakening, with all these ancient cultures practiced and believed? Why would they flip the script? Do they not want you to know this? Do they not want you to achieve this awakening? So how we talk about the matrix and how it's distracting us and disconnecting us, is it disruption from the negative energy for us to not know? Or is the Bible a metaphor for our energy, describing our energy in stories and showing that the snake is the negative energy to create? What is it creating? For humanity to live. So now humans are exiled from the garden. We are living. We are creating now. We are learning. We have lessons and experiences with this consciousness. And to live, L-I-V-E, backwards, is evil, E-V-I-L. So is that a bad thing? Or is that actually a good thing? Can we look at the negative and make it into a positive? Is the Bible resembling when he casts hell in the lake of fire? Is it talking about this new earth, this new sacred knowledge, this choosing not the temptations of the serpent, of the negative, but to create and to live? And with energy, in order to manifest, energy needs to generate. So in order to generate, we are battery, negative, positive, neutral. The gateway to knowledge is lessons and experiences. So to gain this knowledge that Thoth was talking about, this knowledge that we all have, lessons and experiences give us the knowledge in order for us to reach that. So we need to live evil in order to create and to gain the knowledge. Like a path. The devil, we talked about how the devil was created long after actually the Bible was even created, and the devil is a goat, which also represents fertility back in the matriarchal period where the goat represented life. We talked about horn to call, the fur to cover, the meat to eat, the milk. And we can even see how historically we can take all of these little symbolisms and whatnot and connect them. And in our generation now, we call each other goats. When we want to call each other someone cool, you say, oh, he's a goat. Oh, they're goated. It's as a positive thing, not as a negative. So we're even seeing it within us that the devil isn't necessarily bad. It's standing out and it's creating, it's living. And in order for us to live, we need the negative. So that was a fun one. And I want to make all of the episodes fun ones, interesting things to think about that you wouldn't probably think about in your average day. And yeah, this is going to be fun. Season 2, let's go. As always, this is Tony Scardino. You can find me on all platforms at Official Tony Scardino. I've been editing a lot of my own clips, so hopefully you guys see those. In my link on my platforms, you can ask free will questions. And I'm so excited again for season 2. I'm so glad we're back. Thank you for sticking by me, to my listeners. And yeah, we're going to get this party started. I'll see you guys next week. And I hope you guys have a beautiful rest of the week.
I guess we'll never know.